First Nations women are facing the largest gender pay gap in Australia, earning on average 35% less than male Australian workers, according to new research by Jobs and Skills Australia. Professor Nareen Young from UTS says the gap is rooted in historical injustice and continues to limit access to housing, education and economic independence. I speak to Professor Young about what governments and employers must do to create lasting change.
That are sought for mainstream women are what would be needed, so pay increases, because of the gendered nature of that of the work that First Nations women largely fall into, so childcare, hospitality, the community sector, health, education. So we need those gender undervaluation matters heard in the Fair Work Commission and pay increases be awarded. But also we know, and it was made clear in a decision of the Fair Work Commission last year, that cultural skills, when wages are fixed, cultural skills that are held by First Nations women that are an inherent part of the duties that are performed, so in the healthcare sector or in the childcare sector, for example, are also undervalued. So we have the double bind here for First Nations women, whereby skills are undervalued because of their gender and because of their race.
And I guess how can this pay be better included, the pay gap be better included in the national closing the gap efforts?
Well, it never has been. It's never been considered before. We haven't had data until this week when Jobs and Skills Australia produced it. So it's something that's going to have to be considered very carefully.
The report highlights the high concentration of, I guess, First Nations women in female-dominated jobs, like, as you mentioned, childcare. What support can be given to encourage entry into those, male-dominated, non-traditional fields?
Well, First Nations women are actually doing better than mainstream women at going into those fields. Mm-hmm. So that's really significant because those fields offer better money and they offer access to overtime and penalty rates and all those things that contribute to men being better paid than women. So I think we're doing pretty well at that. And I think, but any encouragement, anything that industries can do and sectors can do to make their sectors more attractive to women is a good thing.
How can workplaces take real action to support First Nations women beyond just general diversity?
Well, first of all, you have to recognise that First Nations people are the First Nations people of this place. That's not to say that everyone else's diversity isn't precious and shouldn't be considered on its own, but we're not the same in those terms, and First Nations people hold a place in the Australian employment and labour market whereby we were excluded from active participation in the labour and employment markets for a long time. We're catching up on our own terms and are responsible for that catch-up. And also in the education system, which A, we were actively excluded from, and B, hasn't been all of that accommodating or welcoming for First Nations people. So there's a lot of work to be done. Our centre does the Gariyala survey every 5 years or so and makes recommendations. If people want to have a look at the recommendations we make to make workplaces more attractive for First Nations people, then they can go to they can simply Google Gariyala, Gariyala.
And also, what role do you see First Nations women in, I guess, leadership and owning businesses change that narrative and outcome around the pay gap?
Well, I think that sisters are doing it for themselves and are increasingly putting ourselves up in leadership positions across the community, but clearly there's hardly any women who are in senior positions in the most, in the best paid jobs in Australia, in corporate Australia, for example. So we need, the same as we did with women 15 or 10 years ago, we need to look at First Nations women and where they're placed on salary scales. And we just keep encouraging First Nations women to start businesses because then they're in charge and taking charge of their own destiny at work and not having to rely on corporate or government or community sectors.
That was Professor Nerine Young from UTS speaking to The Wire.